regular meeting of the Highland City Council to order and ask Pastor Grant Reeder from Community Cross Church to lead us in invocation and then a pledge allegiance led by Councilmember Timmer.
Please join me in prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight recognizing the weighty responsibility, the issues that come before this body. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds. Father, regardless of whatever faith tradition we come from, we recognize you, the creator of all that you have placed under our authority and dominion. As we tackle the issues tonight, Lord, we recognize that reasonable minds may differ. So, although we don't necessarily pray for unity of opinion, we do pray for unity of action. Lord, this is one body, one city. You are one God. We pray that we would give you glory tonight through the decisions that are made here. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for this city. Thank you for these who serve. And thank you for those who are concerned enough to make their voices heard. Guide us tonight, Lord. It's in your blessed name we pray. Amen.
Please join with me as we honor the great flag of our nation. Let it begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Roll call.
Councilmember Chavez.
Here.
Councilmember Lilburn.
Here.
Councilmember McCallum.
Here.
Councilmember Solano.
Present.
Councilmember
Here.
First order of business is a public hearing on redistricting, and I will open that public hearing and ask our city clerk, Betty Hughes, to give us a presentation.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. This is the last public hearing of the four that are required by law. At the last public hearing on January 11th, NDC's presentation showed the current population is 57,232. Each district population should be roughly 11,446. Current law allows no more than a 10% deviation. The current deviation is 7.03%. Therefore, the current district map is considered balanced based on the criteria of the California Voting Rights Act. The city did not receive any draft maps from the public, and no public comment was received. City Council's direction was to bring forth a draft resolution adopting the current district map. The proposed map on the district boundaries was published on the city's redistricting webpage on February 11th. The city has not received any draft maps from the public or any public input regarding the redistricting process. If a member of the public submits any maps at this public hearing, they will be considered. They will need to be considered by the council. At this time, I will turn it over to our consultant, Todd Tatum of National Demographics Corporation, for his presentation.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Great. Again, thank you, Betty, for the introduction. I'm going to share my screen now. Like Betty said, this is our fourth and final hearing. Again, the deadline for adoption is April 17th, 2022. Just a quick review of how we got here. We followed the three categories. The federal laws, which are equal population, followed the Federal Voting Rights Act, no racial gerrymandering. We followed number two, the California criteria for cities, which are now in ranked order. Number one, geographically contiguous districts. Number two, Try to keep undivided neighborhoods and communities of interest. Number three, easily identifiable boundaries. And number four, keep the districts compact. Also a reminder that it is prohibited to favor or discriminate against any political party. And the third, other traditional redistricting principles that we followed were using every effort to minimize voters shifted to different election years, respect voters' choices in office, in continuity in office, look for any future population growth that we should know about, and we want to do our best to preserve the core of existing districts. Luckily, you had a balanced map, as Betty said, so all of those principles were followed when you adopted this map, so it was easy to come back and declare your map balanced. And again, your total population was 57,232, and each district should have roughly 11,446 people. You have a current deviation across all districts of 7.03%. And again, the maximum allowed is 10%. So once again, we've reached the end of our work here with the public hearing. I ask now if you have any questions and look forward to the introduction of the resolution to adopt your map.
Do we have any questions from the council? Madam Clerk, have we received any public comment?
We have not.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak either in favor or against or present a map to the council? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing and bring it back to the council for action.
All right, so before you is a resolution for council's consideration and adoption. Again, all necessary public hearings and opportunities for public testimony and written comment have been conducted in compliance with state law and the Highland Municipal Code. This concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adopt this resolution.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, mark that unanimous.
Resolution number 2022-006. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you very much, and thank you all again for choosing NDC to work with you. And I just want to say that Betty has been an absolute pleasure to work with throughout this whole process.
Good job,
Jennifer. And again, congratulations on adopting your new map.
Thank you, Todd.
Or your existing map.
Thank you very much. Our new and existing map, right. Thank you. Madam Clerk, Madam Attorney, do we have any report out from closed session?
We do. The council met pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4, potential litigation. The council granted approval to initiate a legal action. The action, defendants, and any particulars shall, once formally commenced, be disclosed to anyone that inquires, but that won't be disclosed at this time.
Thank you very much. We have no special presentation. Now comes the public comment for items not on the agenda. Madam Clerk, have we received any public comment?
We have not.
On anything on the agenda?
We have not.
Very good. I have one speaker slip from Jody Scott. Jody, you're up.
We have a very dangerous situation here in Highland that's been created, and it has to be taken care of immediately, if not sooner. Baseline, heading east. You go past Starbucks, you're in the left lane because it's a two-lane road, and you're going to turn left when you get to Boulder, so you stay in that lane. When you get to the on-ramp to the freeway, all of a sudden, your lane is a turn lane, and you're stuck. I have almost been hit three times. I have almost hit someone a couple of times at that particular spot, because there's no indication whatsoever that lane is going to end when you get to the light. There's no indication at all. You get it, you're in the lane, the light turns green, and all of a sudden, boom, there the arrow is and you have to turn. I've had many complaints from citizens where they say they have to get on the freeway. Others have clipped over in front of me. I have done the same thing because I have forgotten that, you know, there's no markings. You guys have got to do something with that now. Paint it, put signs up, do something. It goes from two lanes, basically, to one lane, and then it goes two again. Now, you could paint that big, wide yellow section on the other side and paint it over just a little bit so you could let that car go, through. But do something now, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Jody. I agree with you. We need to do something about that. Staff, have any comments?
Do you know where she's talking about?
Yes, staff's aware. We've had discussions with SBCTA and the contractor out there. I know they were going to put up some additional signage. I'm not sure if that was done yet or not. This is a temporary situation due to the widening of the baseline bridge. Once the widening on the north side of the bridge is complete, and they'll be able to open up the whole section of traffic. So it's unfortunately a temporary issue. But we'll reach out again to SBCTA and the contractor and see if they can put up some additional signage, have them relook at it again, see if they can do something with the striping. But we have spoken to them already.
Or maybe okay. Just take one of those turning lanes.
Yeah, it's an engineering, right. It's not, we don't have control over the project. Right. We can only plead our case to SBCTA. It's their project, and Caltrans, it's all within Caltrans right of way. So we'll reach out to him again and let him know the concerns.
I'll reinforce that with Dr. Wolf.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want the city to get sued, and you will. There's an accident right out there.
Thank you, Jody.
But it's hard. I see cars all the time.
I just automatically go over the other lane when I'm headed that way anyway, because I know it's there. But if you don't know it's there, it's a big problem.
Right.
That brings us to the consent calendar. We need any requests to pull it?
We have not received any requests to pull any items.
I'll move item 2 through 11.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Councilmember Lilburn?
Yes.
Councilmember McCallum?
Yes.
Councilmember Solano?
Yes.
Councilmember Timmer?
Yes.
That brings us to our item 12, which is All American Asphalt contract change order, and Carlos Zamano, our Public Works Director and City Engineer, will give us a presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council. So this item before you is in regards to the Sector E pavement rehabilitation project that's underway. Let me take this off, make it easier. For the Sector E pavement rehabilitation project that's underway. So what we're being faced with due to unforeseen conditions is a need to increase the contingency from 10% to 20%. And the items that were unforeseen are listed on the second page of your staff report. Let's see, let me pause for a second, make sure. Okay. Okay. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, if we stop touching our mics,
yeah,
it'll go away.
I'm doing the same, so. Okay, so let me proceed if I may.
Sure.
So there are four items that have caused us to go, or for there to be a need to go over the contingency. Like I said, they're listed in your staff report. But one notable item that I want to point out is wet subgrade that was encountered in the project. Let me back up and say that the project is about 60% complete. The project has completed, if you look at your location map, the contractor has substantially completed the work from Clover Hill Drive to the west. So they've completed that area, which they're referring to as phase one. The area to the east of that, they're calling that phase two. So they haven't yet really gotten into some of those areas, and so there's a potential for wet subgrade over there too. But so far, in the phase one area, we have come across some wet subgrade that we need to contend with. And so what item three on your staff report has is an item to address this wet subgrade. But within that item, Staff is recommending that we include a contingency for that phase two area to the same amount, about 50,000 square feet of area in total, just to make sure that if we run into this issue in the phase two portion of the work, we can address this during construction. We won't have to go back to the council, so that we can essentially have pre-approval for that in the event we run into that condition. That is basically at the gist of what is happening. Now, the WETS upgrade, the reason why this line item is costing over $260,000 is there's really two methods to handle that issue. One is to do what I would call conventional reconstruction methods, and what that would entail would be removing about 2 feet of the WETS upgrade, putting down a geogrid, and then backfilling with suitable base material, and then paving that area back up to the section per plan. That's one method, although that method is at $10 per square foot, very expensive. The other method is it's called cement treatment. And what the contractor does is they will pulverize the pavement in place and add cement to the mix to basically harden it, so that you're creating a layer over the top of that wet subgrade, so that you can then put your the rest of your pavement section over the top, so that you'll still be able to have a nice prolonged roadway section and not have to go any deeper than what's there. So you're essentially just treating the top portion of the wet subgrade, if you will, to address this. And the approximate cost for that is about $2.61 per square feet. So we're recommending the second alternative, the more cost-effective alternative. It's still a very sound a treatment method. Staff has consulted with a geotechnical pavement expert, and he too agrees that this second option is a good option for the city, and so that's why we're recommending that we apply this treatment and that we receive a 20% contingency to make sure we've got that area covered, plus a little contingency, which is item number 4, in the event that there's other things beyond beyond that work that should come up for extra cost. And that concludes my presentation.
Any chance that we can get the contractor to go out and fix the horrible thing that the gas company did on Church Street with the huge patch that's there that is way above the pavement?
We can do that, but it's not covered under this contract. So what the council would need to do, increase the contingency beyond that to cover. I'm not familiar with the issue on Church Street to cover that area, but.
All right, go take a look at it. We need to do something about it.
Okay.
Can we call them?
Oh, the gas, well, you know, the gas company.
Well, a lot of times when they initially repair it, it's a little bit, then they come back later and redo it again, so I'm not sure if they.
We'll have staff, that's not on the agenda. We'll have staff go out and take a look at it.
I have a question, Carlos, on the wet subgrade portion. Was that because the insufficient base was put in, or was engineered incorrectly, or is it subsurface water coming up through into the roadway? Do we know?
We don't know exactly what occurred or what caused this wet subgrade, but my speculation would be that the condition of the pavement in that neighborhood, which is shown on your location map, the areas in yellow are those streets where the wet subgrade was encountered, just for your information. But this is an older subdivision, and the pavement condition in this area was pretty bad, and so over the many years, a lot of the runoff has made its way through those cracks.
Through the cracks?
Yes, sir.
Into the subsurface?
Yes, and under the subgrade. And so what my speculation is that coupled with the fact that there could be maybe a trench, a utility trench, that this may have hit or come in contact with, that may have caused those areas to get soft. Now, it's possible that when they constructed this area, these roads, they may not have been properly compacted too. So there's a number of things that may have happened that we can only speculate. So we don't know for sure. We just know that that area, you know, has wet material. And how we know that is because it's soft. When the vehicles drive over, especially heavy vehicles, you could see the pumping, the vehicles are actually moving up and down a little bit. And you see that. And so obviously that's not good.
A lot of clay underneath there, yeah, to do that.
You know, the soil material does also have a bearing on this situation. So there could be a number of reasons.
My final question is on the alternative you're looking at is the grinding and then adding concrete with the mix. Is there any discoloration in the final product? Do they add dyes to make it black?
No. Actually, you won't even see this because what we're going to do is over that cement treatment process, we're going to put in the
underneath another layer on top?
On top. There'll be a 3-inch layer of the recycled asphalt that we're putting right back in. And then on top of that, we're putting in a tenth of rubber asphalt. What you'll see is nice and black pavement. What we're talking about is all subsurface. You won't see it, but it's necessary to do the proper structural section.
Thanks, Carl. That's all I had, ma'am.
Thank you. Any other questions? Is there a motion on this item?
I'll go ahead and motion.
We have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, mark that unanimous. Next is a cooperative agreement with the county of San Bernardino for pavement rehabilitation of Pacific Street. Carlos, you're on again.
Yes, sir. So this item before you is for the City Council's consideration of potentially doing a joint project with the County of San Bernardino. As you guys are probably aware, we're currently working on a joint project with them on Tippecanoe and other streets. This would be along the same lines, except that unlike with that project that's underway now, for this one, the county would be the lead agency. They would take the lead with respect to that project. On your staff report, page 3 is a location map. It shows you the various streets that are in the current planning stages. The one to make note of here is Pacific Street, that segment of Pacific Street between Del Rosa Drive and Sterling Avenue. A portion of it is in Highland and a portion of it is in the County of San Bernardino. So that would be the only section that we would participate with the county should the council desire to want to take on this cooperative project with them. The county is prepared to also prepare the grant application to CalRecycle to get the grant funds to pay for the rubber asphalt for this project, which we're looking to do in fiscal year 22-23, should the council agree to want to pursue this project as well. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
It looks like we're doing also some ADA ramps. Is that
oh,
true?
Yes. Yes, sir. So as typical with pavement rehab, you do want to go and look at, make sure you have curb ramps that are ADA compliant. So very good point. That is also part of the effort here. I should also mention that, you know, this is an area of roadway that the council and the city, did several years ago. In fact, back in 2011, we completed a rehab project. It was one of our first projects that entailed doing cold-in-place recycling, or CIR for short, and that is the recycling of the existing pavement. That's where there's a long train that moves along the roadway. It's grinding the pavement, and then it's putting it right back down and compacting it, cold material. And then what we did is we then came back with a rubber asphalt to cap it. And so, you know, what I was curious about when I first received this request or inquiry from the county, I thought, gosh, why would we need to do any work since we did work here back in 2011, you know? We constructed the roadway to have a 20-year life. But as I got to thinking about it more, I know that back when we did that project, coincidentally enough, we had some issues with wet subgrade here too. So we had to deal with some of that back then on this project. Now, this roadway area, for those of you who don't know, you know, there was a lot of, it's collecting a lot of runoff, a lot of rainwater that is tributary to this area. So it all sheet flows down into Pacific Street, this section of Pacific Street. And there's a lot of catch basins along that section of roadway that then accept that runoff and it gets piped south and then it heads southwest. So I believe that because of all of the traffic, and I'm sure that the freeway construction didn't help because I'm sure a lot of people are using Pacific Street as a bypass if they don't want to deal with construction on the freeway. And then coupled with, you know, all the runoff that we've been seeing, I'm sure that hasn't helped to, because I have noticed some cracks in the roadway. So I believe that it is for these reasons that we need to go back and do some further rehabilitation. So this is why staff is recommending that we go back out and do more work, because if we don't, it's going to be more expensive if we defer this type of pavement treatment now if we do something later.
Questions?
Carlos, I noticed that the last time we did a project with the county, a joint project, that Highland took the lead on this. Are you taking the lead on this project as well?
No, this one would be the lead agency would be the county, so we would just be required to pay our share of the cost.
Okay.
Other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Comments?
I'll go ahead and move for approval. There's no further questions.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it's unanimous. Next is City Selection Committee item, and that'll be addressed by our city clerk, Betty Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor, members of City Council. The City Selection Committee will meet to elect chair and vice chair for the City Selection Committee, as well as primary and alternate city members to serve on the San Bernardino County Local Agency Formation Commission. There are applications for the LAFCO primary member, but none for the other positions. The mayor was not made aware of the nomination period, therefore did not submit an application. The voting members of the City Selection Committee are mayors of each city within the county, and no other applications were submitted for any of the other positions.
Yes, I wasn't aware of the position being that I need to submit anything, and also the alternate wasn't aware, so at the City Selection Committee, there's going to be nominations from the floor, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, no one has submitted for the chair and vice chair of the City Selection Committee. Usually no one does, but because it's only one or maybe two meetings a year, and whoever draws the short straw, I guess. So I think it's someone's turn from the desert, so I'm thinking of nominating someone from the mayor from the desert to sit in that position. They haven't had it, as my memory, they haven't had it, so we'll see what happens.
But you don't need any support from us to...
No, when I found out that when this was sent out that I wasn't notified, I went ahead and sent out a letter and so on to all of the mayors saying I was, you know, the reason why I didn't apply and ask for their support, and we'll see what happens.
So do you call how long you've been on the LAFCO?
That's a test.
More than a year?
It's been more than a year.
It's been a long time. And you've been serving us, so I would hope you put through your name.
I'm the immediate past chair of the LAFCO, so I don't know. Maybe it's turn for somebody else. We'll see what my colleagues want to do. It's not up to me.
Well, good luck.
Well, thank you. No action required on this. Is that
no.
Correct?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Next, on to item 15, a proposed resolution opposing initiative 21-0042A1, and our city clerk is going to explain what that is.
Thank you, Mayor and members of City Council. Cal Cities is requesting cities to adopt a resolution opposing initiative 21-0042A1. In summary, the measure limits the voters' input, prohibits local voters from providing direction on how local tax dollars should be spent by prohibiting local advisory measures. Also, it restricts local fee authority to provide local services. It impacts franchise fees, sets new standards for fees and charges paid for the use of local and state government property. Additionally, it makes it more difficult to hold state and local law violators accountable. Attached is a draft resolution for council's consideration. Again, this is a request from Cal Cities.
Questions, comments?
Well, we've been fighting with the state for years for them trying to take more and more responsibility away from our city. And it's just another way of getting around what we want to do and have them do what they want to do. They're just eliminating a lot of the process that we would normally be involved with to get get our city's input into some of these things, and they're eliminating that process now, which you think in today's current environment, they'll be wanting to encourage more input to these kinds of things instead of less. So I move we go ahead and support this resolution to fight this bill.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it's unanimous.
Thank you. Resolution number 2022-008.
Thank you. Now on to our city manager's report, and that's Joe Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. That is me.
And his beard gets whiter every time I see it.
Well, I kind of like these masks. You know? My beard was always dark. So. Thank you, Mayor. Just to bring you up to speed on a few items, the city has received 3 RFPs for auditing services. So the Finance Subcommittee will be conducting interviews in March, and we'll be bringing that item forward to the City Council in April. Auditing servicing, yeah. So we received 3. At the February 15th Planning Commission meeting, the Commission approved the design review application for the 21-unit market rate apartment complex adjacent to the Future Tractor Supply Company store. That's west of Church Avenue. The project will consist of 2 bedroom units, each with an enclosed garage and carport, outdoor patios, and a lot of architectural treatments. That was quite the discussion at the Planning Commission, the amount of architectural treatments. The new 7-Eleven Mini Mart is opened at Greenspot and Boulder, and the council, you should have received an email today regarding a ribbon cutting ceremony on Friday, February 25th at 1 p.m. If you're planning on attending, if you let Betty know, so she can give 7-Eleven a head count on that, that'd be great. The Tippecanoe pavement improvement project that Carlos touched on briefly. This is the second week of the temporary road closure on Tippecanoe Avenue from 3rd Street to 6th Street. That began on Monday, February 14th. The contractor has completed the base paving of Tippecanoe Avenue between 5th Street and 6th Street. Traffic for the east-west direction only has been opened at the intersection of Tippecanoe Avenue and 5th Street, but the traffic signal remains on red flash. Weather permitting, the contractor is due to complete the base paving of the remaining segment of Tippecanoe Avenue between 3rd Street and 5th Street this Friday, March 25th, and will allow Tippecanoe Avenue to reopen 1 lane in each direction by 5 p.m. But I'm not sure how this rain is impacting things, so that might have to be pushed back. Boulder Avenue improvements. Construction of this project has been underway for several months, primarily with curb wraps, slot paving, next to the raised curb median, sound wall, parkway, and medium landscape work. Last week, the contractor began to install the decorative bridge lighting on Boulder Avenue and City Creek. Installation of the street lights and parkway lights on Boulder Avenue between City Creek and Greenspot Road will continue this week. The city is coordinating with Edison for the installation of the meters. The streetlights are anticipated to be turned on, if we can get the meters from Edison, late March of 2022. Coordination is also underway with EVWD for installation of the irrigation meters. Once the meters are set, the contractor will begin to install the drought-tolerant landscape. This project is coming together and is anticipated to be completed by May of 2022. Some good news. We're going to have our first hit. Back since COVID. So our first hit will be Saturday, March 19th. It will be the cleanup for anticipation of the Citrus Harvest Festival. And we have another hit scheduled, a community day of service hit that will happen at Highland Community Park in cooperation with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That'll be on May 7th, and we'll have more details on that. But they're planning a big cleanup and some painting down at the community park. And July 4th parade, staff is gearing up for that. So we'll be ready to go. We're also gonna be bringing forward to the City Council at the next council meeting, a list of all the potential community projects, you know, the National Night Out, volunteer dinner, and all those things, get some input for some new dates from the council for those items this year. So that'll be at the next council meeting. The Coronavirus Recovery Business Grant Fund, We're still holding at 173 applications on that. We are processing five. In the grocery delivery grant program, we are at 27 inquiries on that, and we're still holding at two on the mortgage assistance program. And we don't have a full month yet on the trash pickups. The calls for service from the PD from February 7th to February 20th, we did see a bit of an uptick. We had 1,607 calls for service, 122 reports, and 79 arrests. So that was a quite an uptick on the arrests and calls for service. That concludes my presentation.
I just got a comment. The arrests, the question is, did they stay arrested?
Yeah. They stayed arrested. Whether they stayed in jail, that's a different story.
Anyway, any comments, questions of the city manager? Seeing none, brings us to council member comments. Jesse, you have anything?
Nothing at this time.
Nothing to report,
Mayor. John?
The big apartment complex that's going on Green Spot between Boulder and City Creek, they did a lot of work on the foundation. Sticks are going in the air
now.
So.
Yeah, it's coming together there. Benny?
I have nothing.
I really have nothing. Just a question. The Tractor Supply is supposed to start construction in March, I was told originally.
Larry, do you have an update on that?
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is submit plans for construction, and they're hoping to construct this year, but I don't think they threw out March. But I will update the council as soon as I have those dates. Yeah. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, well, you know, I was told it was going to be March, and they plan to open in October.
Mm. I'll follow up on that.
Yes, it is, and that's the reason I was... Very good. I have nothing else. Is there a need for closed session? I have no announcements. Anyone have any announcements? If not, then we'll stand adjourned.